out of Hebrews chapter 11, and I talked about faith, true faith. And I used these two gentlemen that were in Hebrews 11:32 that we don't really talk about much. And he says, "What more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." We've heard of Gideon, we've heard of David, Samuel, the prophets, but those two guys in there, Barak and Jephthah, I focused on last week. And Barak, remember, he was called and had faith because he didn't care who got the credit. And Jephthah fought for the very people that tried to hurt him. Let me say something to you today. And if you weren't here, you didn't hear it, go online. You can listen to it. It's online. These encourage me. So when I was there and I was reading through that, it just so inspired me that I want to just talk about it today with you for just a moment. Father, thank you so much for your family that you have allowed us to be a part of. Bring increased life and love to each one today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says amen. If you have your Bible and you'd like to, you can turn to it to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to read through that with you this morning. But before I go there, I want to just read a couple other verses. Hebrews 11:6, Chris quoted it last week. It says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There's a great story in Mark chapter 9 that I think could pertain to every single one of us. And I want to read it to you. And then I want to just share these few little lessons this morning on faith with you. Mark chapter 9, verse 17, he says, "A man in the crowd answered, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him into the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive the spirit out, and they couldn't.' Jesus says, 'You unbelieving generation, how long will I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me.' And so they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit in the boy saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus said to the boy's dad, 'How long has this been happening?'" I've asked many people, "How long have you been doing that?" Because these things just don't happen overnight. Jesus was amazed that this had gone on so long. And the man answered, he said, "From childhood, it's thrown him into the fire and into the water to kill him. And if you can do anything, Lord, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And I love how Jesus responded. He said, "If you can." What are you saying? If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. And the boy's dad looked at, he said, "I believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief. I believe that if we stumble and are troubled and we have a propensity in any area of our lives that's helping us with the unbelief that is in our heart." And so today, I just want to take just a couple minutes. And I read down through them last week quickly. I want to read to you a few more. They're most of them in Hebrews 11, but I want you just to open up your heart. You might want to write a couple of these down because this is going to matter to you afterwards. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Verse 2, it says, "This is what the ancients were commended for." And so here's the first lesson. I talked a little about it already before the offering. The number one lesson is Abel's lesson, to put God first. Because if he is not first on your list, come on, brothers and sisters, he's not on your list at all. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did." I like what one corny guy said, "Cain tried to, but he wasn't able." Ha ha. You'll get that later. I knew Erin would like that. She likes that corny stuff too. It says, "By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead." Isn't that incredible? And I used to stumble on that. I used to think, "God, why did you take Abel's offering and you stumbled over Cain's?" Listen, Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, look at how it's worded. I'm reading out of the New International. He says, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. He brought them in his own time, not first. The Bible goes on to say, but Abel, he brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. Everybody say first. Everybody say God wants first. The Lord looked at favor with Abel because he brought the first, not just when it was convenient. See, God is looking to you and I to put God first. That's why we worship God on Sunday morning together, because it's the first day of the week. It's the first act of worship to the new week. A lot of people go through a lot of pain and trouble through the week because they have had no intention of putting God first in their lives. That's why when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we should do is talk to the Lord. Let Him have complete dominance in our lives. Abel brought the first, the best to God. Cain, when he felt like it, he brought something to the Lord. And we are living in a season, in a society that says, whatever goes, goes. God loves me no matter what I do. And you are right. He loves you no matter what. But you and I miss out on the best plan that He has called you and I to, because we refuse sometimes to put Him first. Priority matters to God. Put Him first in your life. Give Him first place, because if He's not first, if He's not number one in line, He's not even in line. Come on, say amen to me today. The tithe, your offering, what you make should be first. In that time, they didn't exchange money, they exchanged fruit. They exchanged cattle. And when Cain got fruit, he thought, well, in time, I'll give God. He made sure he had enough for himself and everybody else. And then he tipped God, like many do. But God says, I want the first. When you and I receive our income on a regular basis, He should be number one, not the last, not the leftover. Oh, I could talk about that, but I'm going to go on to number two, and that's Enoch's lesson. And that is that he walked with God. Hebrews 11:5 says that Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. The Bible says he walked with God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God and was not. He was no more because God took him. At 65 years old, Enoch begots Methuselah. Come on, first child, 65 years old. Come on, somebody say he's got hope for me yet. 65 years old. And then the Bible says that he lived another 300 years, and he gave birth to, he was part of having many, many more children. But the real key in Enoch's life is that he walked with God every single day of his life. He was so close to God that God and he and God were, they were talking, they were friends, they were fellowshipping. Enoch was just walking along one day, they were having a conversation. He was only 365 years old. I just wonder what that would look like today. 365 years old, and God said, Enoch, just come on up here. And he didn't face death, he didn't get sick, he didn't have a cold, he didn't have pneumonia, cancer, nothing. The Bible says in a moment he was taken up with God because he walked with the Lord. Now, I would love that kind of happening in my life. I don't know how about you. I would just love it just someday, just not tomorrow or the next day. Praise the Lord. God willing, it'll be a while. Maybe not 365 years, but maybe the way I'm going, maybe 120 for sure. Come on, somebody say amen. Then all of a sudden one day I said, honey, God says that later on today he's going to take me up. Poof, I'm gone. I'm out of here. That pleased God. Faith. Third lesson. It was Noah's lesson. He acted on the word of God. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. This is an incredible story. You can read it in Genesis chapter 6, and it goes all the way up into Genesis chapter 10. At that time, there was never rain on the face of the earth. And the Bible says that God was so sick of the sin of his people that he was detested. He didn't want to look at humanity anymore, and he was going to destroy the earth. But the Bible says that God extended grace to Noah and called him to build an ark. You know the story. We've talked about it 1,000 times. And there was never rain on the face of the earth. But what was it that caused Noah to obey God? And what was it that God recognized him and had his name imprinted in Hebrews chapter 11 for hundreds of years later, for all to see then and now that Noah had favor in the sight of God? Is because he responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He listened to the word of God in his heart. He listened and responded to the nudge of God in his life. Now, that may seem foreign to you. It may seem strange. And I'm glad that I had Erin. I know the whole picture. When she talks about coming to church that day, hearing about a missions trip to Chicago. See, there's another backstory to that. We had bought a bus. We didn't even have a bus driver. And we bought the bus. I made plans for a missions trip to Chicago. We had the bus. We didn't have a bus driver. I'd forgotten that Chuck could even drive a bus, let alone, I didn't have no idea. But we bought the buses because Ben and I went to pastor school in Phoenix, and he just hounded me. And by the time we got back from Phoenix, there was a bus sitting in the backyard of our farm at the time where we kept it, because we didn't own any land here in Batavia. We got the bus and said, we're going to go on a mission trip. We didn't have a bus driver. And the Spirit of God nudged Chuck Vendetti when they were planning on going on a week's vacation. He says, I think I'm supposed to drive the bus. I didn't know that he could drive. I knew it, but I'd forgotten. I had no idea. And here, because of the nudging that he would respond to, that we made plans for a mission trip. We had no idea. We didn't have the money for the gas. We didn't have nothing. Zip. We believed God that he was going to do something. And because we believed God, not only did we go on a great mission trip, and that bus ride, you don't even want to hear some of the details that happened on that bus. That was some crazy stuff. But anyways, what a powerful act of God that had happened through that trip. And here this young lady is standing here today because her dad heard of, felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit, because my son got a nudge from the Holy Spirit in Phoenix, and we bought a bus, and God does miraculous things when we answer his call. And what is God nudging you to do today? What have you just put off? And you know that he's been pushing. He's been prompting. Maybe you're supposed to serve. Maybe you're supposed to drive a bus. Maybe you're supposed to buy a new bus or a new van. If anybody wants to do that, praise the Lord. I'm open to it. Maybe God wants you to help out with the Thanksgiving dinner. Adopt the block. In the children's ministry. In the nursery. Maybe he's calling you to be an usher. Maybe he's nudging you. And if I had a nickel for every time I heard somebody say, well, someday I'm going to do it, I just don't feel ready now. Well, feel ready, because God is nudging you. Amen. Maybe it's a missions trip that you're called to go on. I love the story about Paulie Lemondola. When he came into this house, he gave his heart to the Lord. I mean, he was still a little far out. And then when we had the missionaries come in, little did we know when Chuck and Helen Todd would come on a Thursday night that they would speak into the life of some crazy surveyor who looks a little weird, especially with shorts on. I love you, Paulie. That God would speak to him and nudge him, and he would end up going to Nepal and serve the Lord and lead people to Jesus. Is that someday when we stand in heaven, we're going to look. I got saved because Paulie came and gave the invitation, because the Todds came to the church and inspired Paulie, because you had the church and Chuck drove the bus and Erin got saved, and on and on and on and on. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. You got to act on the word of God. James 2, he says, when you see this faith, his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. The King James says, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I've met a lot of people that have got bumper stickers and crosses around their neck and done nothing for the kingdom of God. God is looking for some people that will put their feet to their faith and see the world change for the glory of God. Come on, you're not amening me as good as I'm preaching right now. Number four lesson, Abraham's lesson is to wait patiently. How many of you got the gift of patience? Let me see your hand. If you raise your up, you're lying to me. Put it back down. You know, you're good at it, but you ain't perfected it. Hebrews 6:15, so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. I just want to tell somebody today, don't give up. Don't stop. Don't give up. Hebrews 10:37 says, for in a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay, and my righteous one will live by faith. But if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Some of you are backed up from what God has called you to because your patience has run out. You didn't get what you wanted in the time frame that you wanted. How many of you know that the faith, trusting in God, does not mean you get what you want when you want it all the time? Hello? Trusting in God means we trust Him. We'll receive it whenever He releases it. And for sometimes, our carnal nature says, well, if I don't get it, I'm not going to do this or that. You don't want to shrink back. Don't give up. Number five is Moses' lesson. Don't trust in your feelings. Oh, I want to talk about this just for a minute. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time, a season. Let me tell you something. Sin may be good in the moment, but it'll only last for a season, for a short time. It'll only last for a moment. It says, by faith he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He wasn't concerned and didn't follow after his own feelings. He didn't do what felt good and was good. Because the pleasures of our sins, our emotions can lead us in a myriad of directions. We have to live by faith. We have to trust in the Lord. We have to do what He says, what He's called us to. Because when you live by your emotions and by your feelings, brothers and sisters, you'll end up in a wreck. I don't love Him anymore. I don't love her anymore. Or, I just love him. I love her. You know, some parents get upset at me. Some of their kids get upset at me, but most of the time they love me afterwards. When some guy comes in here, and I'm always with it with the women, when the guy comes wanting to court one of our girls, we put him through a few motions. Oh, yeah. I always tell about Andy Kapiki wanting to date Jen. I had him right up in my office. In my office, we are well armed. I have guns, knives, and Maasai warrior clubs. I do. And when men come in and want to date our women, I bring them all out. I lay them on the table. You touch her. You lay a hand. You do anything before, during, or after, I'm coming for you. Me and a whole bunch of others with me. I wanted to quote a saying in a movie that I saw, but I didn't think I better right there. Yeah, I got to keep preaching. You can't. Praise the God. Help me, Jesus, right now. Bring it back home. We don't live by our feelings, brothers and sisters. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith. Man, I shared in the first service. This last week, Patty came home a little later from work. I came in later. Somebody had given us a gift certificate to Center Street across the parking lot over here. I said, honey, let's go up there. We'll have dinner there. Okay, let's go. Went there, walked in there, smelled the barbecue. Man, I'm telling you. You know, I've been eating right. I celebrated just the other day, the 30th of October, 1 year since my son Ben invited me to go to the gym. I'm down 40 pounds. I'm twice as strong. I've not been sick one day. Not a cold, nothing. And I give that praise, the glory to God. We went over there. honey, let's have a cheeseburger. I'm going to get a bacon cheeseburger. She goes, me too. Order that cheeseburger. I mean, I ate that thing. You thought fire came down from heaven. I consumed that thing in a moment. And my guts that night, the feelings that I had afterwards were not good. I mean, all night I'm tossing and turning. That thing is working against me. I haven't had a hamburger in me in quite a while, especially that kind, you know. And I get up in the morning, I go to the gym, and I mean, it's like torture. The pleasure of that hamburger lasted for a moment, but the wages of the pain of it lasted the rest of the day. And that's the same thing in our lives. You cannot participate in evil with feelings making you feel good and think that you won't pay a price for that. Moses, don't trust in your feelings. Number six, two more. I'm going to be all done here in just a couple minutes. Joshua's lesson, thank God in advance. Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell and the people had marched around them for 7 days. This worship is the purest expression of faith. Joshua chapter 6, you got to read the story. And you got to read some of these things after. You just can't come in for an hour on a Sunday morning and think you're all set for the week. You got to get into the Word of God. Make it a part of your life every single day. Joshua chapter 6, I love this. One of my favorite scriptures. It says, now Jericho was shut up. The children of Israel, none went out, none came in. And then verse 2, it says, but the Lord says to Joshua, I've given Jericho in your hand. I've given it to you. Wait a minute, God. You just said it was shut up. Got to get the picture. Walls around it. No one's coming in, no one's going out. Secure. There's no way. And God says, Josh, even though it looks that way, I'm going to give it to you. You're going to have it. And this is what he said in verse 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. Now, see, this is the other caveat to this scripture. These weren't just regular men. They're men of war. And God says, I don't want you to attack. What I want you to do is be silent. And then on the seventh day, you're going to march around it. And when I tell you to shout, you're going to shout. And the hardest thing for people who have a warring spirit in them is to keep their mouths shut when they're supposed to and open them when they are supposed to. And the Bible says that when they open their mouth and they begin to shout and praise, that the wall wasn't down, and then they praised him. They praised him when the wall was standing up. And here is a lesson that we need to learn from Joshua, that we don't praise God just when everything is going well. We praise him before we see the answer. We praise him in the middle of our trouble, in the middle of our issue. There is something that moves the heart of God. When a man or a woman is dealing with a sickness or an infirmity in their body, when a parent is dealing with a child that is away from God, when there's calamity in your finances, in your business, something moves the heart of God. When we'll stand up and raise our hands up and begin to give God the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice. Something that hurts, you gotta work it. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Before I see it, I thank him for the answer. And the final lesson is God always does the right thing, whether you think so or you don't. Listen to this. This isn't good preaching material right here. This is faith. Hebrews 11:36. Some face jeers, flogging, chains, imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. I'm talking about faith here. This is a name it and claim it right here. Blab it and grab it. Look at this. They were put to death by stoning. Sawed in two. Man, if I told you, if I said someone, okay, come to church next week, There's 10 people that are going to be stoned, flogged, and there's going to be people that are going to be picking on you on the way in. I mean, you talk about culturally relevant. I mean, if we don't have everything perfect, I mean, if the sound isn't perfect, if the air isn't just right, if the lights are this or that, people, I mean, I get emails from people that say, I'd come to your church, but if you'll do this, this, and this, and here, people, they're put to death, stoning, killed. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And he goes on to say that the world, it wasn't even worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains. They lived in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. I love that. Yet none of them, hear this, none of them received what had been promised. Well, where's the faith in that? What? Keep on reading. This is where we get tripped up. But this is where faith becomes real. In verse 40, since God, He had planned something better for each of us. Oh, praise God. You gotta know, even if you don't get what you want, even if it doesn't look good, even if it doesn't seem right, God is going to do what's right in the end. Isaiah 55, he said, this plan of mine is not what you would work out, neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts, they're above your thoughts. We're talking about God here. Faith, real trust in Him, it's not just getting what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. It's believing Him and staying the course until it comes to pass. Come on. Did you get anything out of that today? Come on, do you love Jesus today? Close your eyes, bow your head. I don't want anyone moving around right now. There's nowhere you have to go for the next 3 minutes. Nowhere. There's nothing you have to do. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Just for 3 minutes. Maybe you're here today and life has been tough. Maybe you don't know what's going on. There's things, issues in your home, your family. Maybe finances at the bottom has fell out. Trouble in your marriage. Sickness, something in your body. I love the story in the Old Testament. When those guys were threatened that if they didn't bow at a certain time, they'd be thrown into the furnace. And they stood and they looked at that king. Said, God's able to deliver us, but you know what? If He doesn't, what do you got on us? God's got it all under control. That's what I want to say to somebody today. Can we believe God? Can you love God? That even if you don't get what you want, when you want it, how you want it, can you still trust Him and love Him and know that God's working a plan out? And if it doesn't come through in your time frame, how you want it, you're still going to love the Lord. You're still going to trust God with all your heart. Thank you, Lord. Just right where you're at right now. I believe there's many here today that are, you're in that place. You're struggling with that. If you're here today, heads bowed, eyes closed, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, if that's you, if I'm talking to you today, you can't even understand what I'm talking about right now, because the Bible says the things of the Spirit are only discerned and understood by the Spirit. Jesus wants to come and live inside of your life. He wants you to forgive. He wants to forgive you of all your past, everything. Just like Aaron said today, living wild, acting crazy, that was then, this is now. You can stand up. You haven't got to wait 15 years to give a testimony. You can give a testimony in 15 days after He's come into your life. Make Him the Lord of your life right now. I want my prayer, brothers and sisters, to come down, stand at the altar with me. I'm going to close. If you need Jesus in your heart today, I want you to come down. I want you to tell somebody, say, will you just pray for me? I want to give my heart to Christ today. If you're here today and you're struggling in your life, you're having a challenge believing that you're ever going to make it, that you're going to get past this moment in time, He's more than enough for you today. He wants to help you and bring blessing and increase to your life, and He wants to strengthen you right where you're at today. I want to pray for you, but before you go, if you need anything from the Lord today, you just want somebody to agree with you on prayer, I want you to get out of your seat after I close in prayer. I want you to come down before you leave today. These wonderful people pray and stand with you and believe God with you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for your grace, your love. Lord, we trust you today. We have faith and we believe in you today, God. Help our unbelief today. Help us to do and to live and to be what you've called and created us to be, I pray. And Lord, for that one or ones who have never given their heart to you, I pray, this will be the day that that takes place. I declare blessing and life over this beautiful people today. Use them, and Lord, let your glory flow through them, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. Man, I love you so much. You need prayer before you go? Come on down today. You need Jesus? Come on down today. Somebody will pray for you and bless you real good today. Go in God's grace. I love you.